felt robbed. I didn't get the chance to use all these wonderful signs that they made up for me. Especially, I love that one. Don't you love that one? You know. That's right. Thank you very much. So now, if all works according to plan, we're going to get the other bookend, as it were, from Professor Quentin Cumin. We have the common law, and then we have the Code Civil, right? Thank you.
I don't have any slides or PowerPoint, so you will have to look at me. So here we are being asked to talk within a panel on the economics of water. And we are invited to discuss the status of fresh water. One of the questions is water a public good? Should we sell our water? So as I suggest that these questions are given an answer, at least in principle, in Bill 27, the Quebec Fresh Water Law enacted by the National Assembly in June 2009. The declared purpose of the legislation is to improve water management and preservation. I propose to highlight some of the features of the Fresh Water Act most relevant to our discussion. That is to say, the legal definition of water and its consequences, and whether that fits with Peter's hopes, I'm not quite certain, but we'll see. The title of the Freshwater Law, An Act to Affirm the Collective Nature of Water Resources, and the mention that you find further on that water is part of our common heritage, indicate that water enjoys an exceptional status, a status that does not apply to minerals or to wild animals, for example. The notion of a collective resource is not devoid of legal meaning. The express reference made to the Civil Code of Quebec links the notion of a collective resource to the character attributed to air and water in the civilian legal tradition. The Civil Law of Quebec, as renewed in 1994, revised Civil Code, maintains the legal definition of water as a res communis, or a common thing. The definition of water as a collective resource applies to both groundwater and surface water. It follows that no one, not even the state, may claim to have a right of ownership in water. On the other hand, the Water Act acknowledges the right, and I'm quoting, the right of every natural person to have access to water that is safe for drinking, cooking, and personal hygiene. In keeping with the common resource character of water, four elements in the statute in the new Act deserves to be highlighted. The Water Act defines the role of the state, declares as a principle the right of the public to participate in the decision-making process that affects water resources, and the right of every person to access any information about water resources held by public authorities, the so-called principle of transparency. Finally, amendments are introduced to the Environment Quality Act that will permit to identify, I think, and order the uses of water compatible with its character as a common resource. The Water Act described the provincial state as the custodian of water resources, vested with powers required for the protection and management of fresh water in the general interest and to further sustainable development. This, one could suggest, could equate to the idea of the fiduciary duty that we've just heard about, but this is vested in the state here, not generally in the public, but it does not. It could apply more generally than just to the guardian, the custodian of water resources. To achieve this, The Freshwater Act formally adopts the model of integrated concerted management by hydrologic unit or watershed basin, in which the participation of users is central. In each hydrologic unit is created a body, which we call generally watershed committee. Its member must be representative of all users and other parties whose activities have implication, water implication. The central to the mission of the Watershed Committee is the elaboration of a master plan that will contain all relevant water data, such as the state of the water and water-dependent natural resources, the identification of water uses and their effects, an inventory of ecologically important, fragile, or degraded zone, the measures required to protect and restore the quality or quantity of water resources, and the financial means needed to implement the plan. The Watershed Committee will have to update and to monitor the implementation of the master plan. Embodying the principle of transparency, the information of the public on water resources is facilitated or will be facilitated by the creation of a Bureau des connaissances de l'eau. This Bureau, identified in the Act as the Water Knowledge Branch of the Department of the Environment, is charged with setting up an information system to collect all available data concerning water resources, to conserve and update such data, to disseminate the information, and to support development of learning and research in water resources. The Freshwater Act introduces amendments to the Environment Quality Act, which concerns surface and groundwater withdrawals and are informed, I think, with the collective nature of water resources. As a general rule, all water withdrawals will have to be authorized by the Ministry for the Environment. Presently, it's only underground water that are regulated. Amongst the few withdrawals not subject to authorization are withdrawals with the maximum flow of less than 70,000 liters per day for domestic purposes and agricultural purposes. The minister's power to authorize withdrawals of water is subject to a number of constraints and considerations. Generally, the minister must exercise his power or her power to authorize the withdrawal in such a manner as to ensure the protection of water resources, particularly by fostering sustainable, equitable, and efficient management in the light of the precautionary principle and climate change. I must say I was very happy to see that in the legislation. When considering an application for a withdrawal authorization, priority must be given to satisfying public health, sanitation, civil protection, and drinking water supply needs, and must take account as well of not only present need but future needs. Then the minister must aim to reconcile the protection needs of aquatic systems and the need with the needs of the other users, such as agriculture, aquaculture, industry, energy production, and human activities such as recreation and tourism. Finally, account must also be taken of present and future water needs for the development of rural and urban areas and the economic development of a region or a municipality. Members of the public are allowed to intervene with observation in the process of evaluation by the minister of an application for an authorization. And these authorizations may be subject to condition, especially condition with regard to site, the use of water, the quantity of water removed, and the quality in which it is to be returned. This authorization could be modified or removed entirely subsequently based on new facts or change of circumstances, and this is quite rather important. It is specially stipulated that such a change or removal of authorization would entail no compensation from the state. Finally, the previously enforced prohibition against transfers out of Quebec is integrated into the Environment Quality Act. an eventual lifting of the prohibition in a specific case of a planned transfer out of the province would have to be for a reason of public interest and submitted to public consultation in advance. I thank you.